Good morning and welcome to worship. If you're visiting, we're really pleased to see you. If you're regular, well, not quite so much, but it's nice to have you here all the same. A few announcements to give. Now, normally I would start with tea and coffee, but I'm not going to. That will come later and you'll see why. So I'll just run through the events that are happening this week. And on Monday, it's the Sally Wags who will be meeting. On Wednesday, Friends Together, it's called the Thames and the Lighter Men. And Bill Bailey, who was one of them, is going to explain and hopefully with video show what the work is done and on the Thames and the Lighter Men. So anyone's welcome to that. It's 1:30 for refreshments and then 2 o'clock it starts. On Thursday, the coffee morning will be open from 10 till 12. So if you need to have a cup of coffee on Thursday, come and join us. For parents, there's no explorers this Thursday. But for songsters, you draw the short straw. There is a songster practice, and that will be at 7:45. Next Sunday is Harvest Sunday, and your harvest gift envelopes are available in the foyer, and they need to be returned next Sunday, and that will be done in a little section of our worship when we bring our envelopes back to the altar table. On Tuesday, the advisory team met, and the minutes of that meeting are on the notice board at the back, if you'd like to read them to see what was discussed. First aid. Can anyone who has received first aid training within the last 3 years and has a certificate to prove it and is willing to be recognized as a first aider here in our church, please speak to Captain Paul or to Andy Cracknell. The funeral service for Stan Cracknell will take place here on Monday the 25th of September at 11 o'clock in the morning. On Saturday, the 30th of September, also here at 2 o'clock, will be a Thanksgiving service for the life of David Doy. Glad to tell you that Neil Dennis's son, is out of hospital and doing fine. So your prayers, many prayers were answered for that. I did mention last week we will be collecting the unused stamps with no barcode. And when you find them, if you want to put them in the offering bowl as it goes round on a Sunday, we'd appreciate that. There's no open air today. We had a terrific open air last Sunday afternoon, but no open air today. And this is where the tea and coffee, if you were worried, comes back. Straight after our closing song, I invite you to remain seated, and then Captain is going to speak to us a little while about the safety of our church and those of us who worship here. So following the final hymn this morning, if you remain seated, and Captain will explain what he's going to do. And then, after that, tea and coffee will be available. Thank you very much. Now, Captain.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. And I'm even especially happy this morning because I'm seeing some smiling faces coming back at me. So that's a good thing. I welcome members of the Harold family and associates this morning. And I welcome back some of our number who we haven't seen in a number of weeks because of a variety of reasons. But I want to make one announcement first before we start. If you attended the Army Basics course that we had in the early summer, and you are interested in becoming an adherent or a soldier as a consequence of that course, please come and speak to me, or indeed Lisette actually, after the meeting. So if you attended Army Basics, if you didn't attend Army Basics and you're interested in becoming an adherent or a soldier, The same instructions apply. Come and speak to me or to Lisette. And my second announcement is this. It's a big day today. It's a big day today for a much respected member of our congregation, as Clive, retired songster leader, Clive Harrold, turns 90 at some point today. He might... Let's be careful with the celebrations, because as Sheila says, we don't know what time of day he was born. So he might still be 89 at this point. But nonetheless, we're going to sing to him happy birthday on this momentous occasion.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Clive. Happy birthday to you.
We pray God's continued blessing on your life. We see God at work in you, not only in the way in which you interact with others, but also with the passion that you maintain for the mission of the Salvation Army and God's work through our organization. So I thank you personally for your encouragement, and we pray for God's continued blessing on your life. I invite you to join with me in a responsive call to worship, which will be displayed on the screens before you. I will read what's in the smaller font, and you read what's at the bottom in bold. It's harder to see, but hopefully you can make that distinction. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and together. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And it's because of that, of course, you will have recognized their words from Psalm 100. But we enter his gates with thanksgiving this morning because of the great things that God means for us and because the great things God has done for us. So with that spirit in mind, I invite you to join with me in singing song number 279. If you're following in the songbook, to God be the glory. Stand if you are able.
Thank you.
because our theme today is generous living, the foundation, really, of the beginning of our worship this morning is thanksgiving. Because anything that we have, everything that we have, comes from God first. So when we are called upon to give something away, well, it's not ours that we're giving away. It's what God has given us. It's His in the first place. So we sing that beautiful song, Give Thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's join together in singing these words of thanks. I wonder, Glenys, if you could carry on playing, if that would be okay. And as you do so, and as Glenys continues to pray, I wonder if you can just take these few moments to reflect upon those things for which you're grateful this morning. In what ways has God blessed you? What are you thankful for this morning? And perhaps the question also arises of what is God calling you to give up for Him this morning? And perhaps it's a time of wrestling with God. But wrestling with God is permitted. Jacob did it in the book of Genesis. We don't always understand God's ways. And often it can be a struggle. Perhaps, what is it that God is calling you to give up this morning? Giving up is not necessarily a negative thing. What is God calling you to invest in this morning? Almighty God, we come to you today in confidence. For this world in which we live is your world, brought into being through your love for all your people. And as we bring all our concerns before you, we know that you're waiting to hear us and to respond to us. Lord, we pray that you will teach us all how to provide for our own lives, mindful of our own needs, yet also of the call of Christ to put our trust in him. Help us to spend our time and our money in a manner worthy of your kingdom of love. Lord, make this church a place of generosity, where people work together, giving all that they are and all that they have, so that the wonderful resources of our world may be better shared. We pray today for people who wander through life, constantly seeking a purpose, a reason for living. We remember especially those who store up wealth for themselves, believing that the road to happiness is through the accumulation of possessions. Help them to find love in you, and acceptance, and wholeness. We make our prayers as a part of our common life of worship and service to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I hand over now to the songsters, who under the leadership of Neil are going to bring a song to us called I Will Come and Bow Down. Thank you, songsters, for making your gifts available to Jesus, and for allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through your singing once again. Right, amongst, well, not even only amongst the children, really, but who here likes sweets? Hands up if you like sweets. Actually, it would have been easier if I'd said hands up if you don't like sweets. Yeah, I didn't think so. Who likes sweets and wants to come up and just do just something with me? Come on, Claire. Isla, do you want to come up? I've got some chewits here. Chewits used to be around when I was a kid, and then they disappeared and they've come back. Yeah. Chewits, and these are strawberry flavour. And they've got, well, I've got these three packs. And Lisette's got some spare if I need them. And I thought, well, I should just share them out, really. And that's all I'm going to do this morning. I should have maybe opened them up. Do you really like Chewits? Okay, just hold on to them for now. Do you really like Chewits? Well, here, tell you what. Have one, Matthew. Do you like Chewits, Felicity? Oh, you can have two then. Hudson, do you like sweets? Tell you what, you can have. You can have three, I reckon. There we go. Martha, do you like Chewits? Yeah. We'll tell you what, you can have four, it's the rest of the pack. Claire. I'm going to need some more. Claire. Do you like Chewits? I'll tell you what, you can have five then. There's no particular reason. They do smell lovely, don't they? Ayla, do you like Chewits? Well, tell you what, you can have five and six. So, everyone, how do you feel about this situation?
I feel this is
unfairness. Thank you very much. How do you feel about it, Felicity?
Unfair.
Yeah, would you have preferred to have been down at Isla's end? Yeah. How about you? Are you happy with three sweets, or would you have liked more, Hudson? More. How about you, Martha? Is four enough? Oh, okay. Isla, is four enough? You've got six. Yeah, you've got six. But how do you feel about Matthew, though? Is it right? What should we really have done? Well, tell you what, let's put them all in the middle. Right, let's try this. Let's put them all in the middle, and we'll take these apart. Let's put them in the middle. Look, how about this? Matthew, here's two. I'm not that easily played, Matthew. Hudson, here's two. Felicity, here's two. Martha is two. Claire,
thank you.
And I hope you didn't hide any up your sleeve. No good. And Isla, here's two. And Matthew, you've got your two, haven't you? So how do we feel about this situation? How do we feel? Matthew, how do you feel about this situation? Yeah. So Matthew says this is fair. We've got 9 left in the middle, and the mathematicians among you will have already calculated that, but I'm not a mathematician. So how do we feel about having two sweets now? Now that everyone's got two sweets, how does that feel, Hudson? Is that better? Yeah, because you've lost a sweet. But I think it feels better. It feels more fair. People are more happy. And then I wonder, though, what should we do? with the 9 remaining sweets? Give them to the band? Who agrees? Should we give them to the band? They do work really hard, and they worked really hard last Sunday. Trevor, here's 2 for you. Martin, since you asked, and because we're being fair. Sorry, we've got uneven numbers, David, but we can sort that out later. Ben, this was just really a simple idea about being kind and about being generous and about sharing, because everyone feels a lot better, I think, when we share. There would have been jealousy if you hadn't shared, and people would have been like, oh yeah, I wanted more sweets, I only got one, and it wouldn't have been good. But sharing them out was a lot better. And it's wonderful, actually, that when we put things together, when we are generous, when we give up what we've got, we end up with more, really. And then we can share that with others. Enjoy your sweets. Do not eat them during the meeting or during Sunday school, because I know what sugar does to Martha. And she's a lovely girl most of the time, but not when you give her sugar. Let's stand up. We're going to sing, Our God is a Great Big God. Let's stand up. It's extremely familiar to all of us now. Sheena's already doing her stretches. That's what we like to see. And we know the drill. I'm looking at you. And again, this is one of these examples. The more we put in, the more we get out. So let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Jackie, we're ready.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
Well done. It's lovely when I see my months of holy bullying bearing fruit. It's wonderful. And it's good to see you enjoying yourself. in worship. It's good to see you stepping out of your comfort zone in worship, perhaps experiencing something new of God because you've done something that you were too cool to do before. Children, have a wonderful time. Enjoy yourselves. Learn lots. And be blessed. Over to the band now with a catchy march entitled Get Involved. March there, dare to be a Daniel. Get involved. Did anyone else recognise any other songs there, or is it just pure composition? Or is it something from the 80s that I might have missed? Or is that the only tune that we know? Dare to be a Daniel, I think, is the only one I recognise anyway. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We follow the lead of the worship band for this song, and while we sing together, we will come amongst you to take up your financial offering this morning.
Would you like to stand?
And stand, of course.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope has strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You lift us up on wings like His. strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You live on wings like eagles.
Heavenly Father, accept our gifts this morning, all that they are. Our singing, our giving, our being here, our serving each other, Lord. Accept them as a token of our love for you. And please, Lord, use them for the expansion of your kingdom and the growth of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And I'll be reading from verses 30 to 44. So Mark 6, verses 30 to 44. And I'm going to start my next project now. If you've got a phone and you've got a Bible on it, get it out. If you've got a Bible, get it out. If you don't have a Bible, make sure you have one next week. And we're going to start reading these texts together. So Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verses 30 to 44. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So I'm launching into a new series today. It's going to be a relatively short series. It's only going to take us 4 weeks. And it's called Generous Living. And I'm going into this theme. I'm going into this series. I'm going into this topic for two reasons. Firstly, because we're in the season of harvest, and around here in Suffolk, we're lucky we get to see kind of harvest happening. We get to see the tractors from behind on country roads. We get to see the combine harvesters doing their works in the field. So, you know, we are aware of our connection with the land, maybe a little bit more than city folk would be. So we're in this period of harvest, and of course, we give God thanks for his provision. And in response, we seek to live generously. But I'm also launching into this series because of a very, very practical reason. And you'll remember the financial statement that I issued at the beginning of the summer. And our financial situation has seen better days. It's seen better days. I'm not worried about it unduly. I'm not worried about it unduly because the Salvation Army fundraises completely differently than it did in the past. So there's money for us to call upon from territorial headquarters. But I am concerned about this, is that the most significant drop in our finances was in personal giving. Our personal giving from 21-22 to 22-23 had dropped by 44%. And while that can be explained by some deaths, of course, of some extremely generous members of the Corps, that doesn't account for the 44%. So we've really got to think about these things. I'm not turning the thumb screws. The Salvation Army's got money. But I'm inviting you to consider your response to God's goodness, to God's provision. So the issue I want to raise this morning is this, and it's quite simple. This is the question I want to address. Do we look at our resources of time, of talent, and of course, of treasure, and doubt Jesus' ability to do something with them? Do we look at what we've got and go, it's not going to make any difference anyway, so why should I bother? I don't know. So the story that we are considering today is well known to many. And interestingly, this story is one of 10 or 11 events that are retold in all four Gospels. So this gives us an idea of the significance of this event. All four Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who usually we categorize aside, they all contain this story that must be telling of us. And at the heart of this issue is the problem of a large crowd, a crowd that probably numbers in excess of 5,000, because this figure probably does not include the women and the children. So we can easily double or treble that that number, I would imagine. And this crowd, this large crowd, had gathered around Jesus and his disciples, and they were hungry. They can't go to get their own food because it's late in the day and the location is isolated. The disciples can't provide them with food because the financial cost would be prohibitive anyway. So Jesus, who unsurprisingly, perhaps, is rather impassive throughout this whole scene, sends the disciples away to carry out an audit, if you will, of the available food. How many loaves do you have? He asks. Go and see. And the disciples' results are rather meager. They come back with 5 loaves, 2 fish, the daily rations of 1 individual. So I wonder how the disciples felt at that moment. How did the disciples feel at that moment? They were certainly tired, we know that. They'd been busy. And Jesus had called them away to a peaceful place for rest, an isolated, peaceful place for rest. So we know they were tired. They'd been busy. They'd been teaching. They'd been healing. They were busy. They were tired. And they were hungry. And the text tells us that the disciples themselves hadn't eaten all day. And if you remember the Snickers advert that says, "You're not you when you're hungry." And of course, we all know that feeling, don't we? You know, when we're hungry, our reactions are not always the best. So when you combine tiredness and hunger, I expect that the disciples were pretty fed up. And I also wonder what the disciples might have been expecting Jesus to do. So we're in chapter 6 here. And if we accept the chronology, which in Mark we can. They were starting to get to know Jesus pretty well. By this point in Mark's gospel alone, so the disciples had seen Jesus drive out impure spirits. They'd seen him heal many who were ill and demon-possessed. They'd seen him heal a man with leprosy. He'd also healed a paralyzed man. He'd healed a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath, and that caused a whole lot of controversy. He'd calmed a storm. He had confronted the demons that possessed a man. He'd healed a woman who had been struggling with bleeding for 12 years, and he'd also raised a young girl from the dead. So what were they expecting Jesus to do at this point? I don't know if this multiplication of food is that obvious. I'm not going to lie. I don't think that's that obvious. They'd seen the miracles, of course. But did any of this, at any point, point them to Jesus' ability to turn 5 loaves and 2 kind of pathetic fish into a meal for 5,000 plus? I don't know. I don't know. And if I'm honest, I probably doubt that they did. So I expect it at this point. So they've got this massive problem. They've got a massive mission in front of them. They've got a massive task to fulfill. They've got a seemingly impossible command of Jesus's to fulfill. And then they look at the resources. 5 pitiful loaves, 2 pathetic fish. So I imagine at that point the disciples felt pretty dejected. They felt pretty hopeless. So I wonder if at times, you know, just like these disciples, we wonder whether Jesus can do anything of any worth, of any value with the paucity of our own resources. Life's busier than it used to be. I can't give the time I once gave to the core. I'm not as young as I used to be. And I can't fulfill the role that I once did. Or worse, I don't feel that any of this is worth the investment or the effort anymore. I've been let down so many times. I've thrown myself wholeheartedly at Jesus' call, and I've had nothing back, so that's enough. So I wonder if at times, when looking at the paucity, the limitations, the weaknesses of our own resources, and we just feel like giving up, I wonder if God's call to mission, God's call to be his people, God's call to make disciples just seems too big to fulfill. So what are the antidotes to this kind of thinking? What are the attitudes that are going to help us get beyond this? What are the ways of thinking that are going to help us to surmount this attitude that we all have. I look at the bank account and I go, how on earth, Jesus, are we going to do this? I look at the people around me and I go, wow, Lord, I see them bubbling away. I see some gifting, but they don't. How are we going to do this work until they do? How do we get above? How do we get beyond this way of thinking? Well, firstly, I think that the witness of the gospel in this story itself provides us with an answer. And as we know, the story doesn't end with these five miserly loaves and the two pathetic fish. Jesus takes these miserable, useless gifts. He looks heavenward. He gives thanks to God the Father. He tears the bread and he gives it to the disciples to feed the crowd, and ditto with the two fish. And miraculously, and let's remember, let's go back to the text. That's why I like you to have the Bibles open, because I've forgotten to put it in my notes, but it's important. When Jesus does this, he sets the people on the green grass. And in the context of the Middle East, that's a really important detail. We're talking about a dry, arid climate. There's no grass around. There is no grass around. So when the evangelist tells us that Jesus sets them down on the grass, it's a reminder of God's constant provision for his people, because that's the Old Testament imagery. Go to Psalm 23. We've got a similar idea. God makes us sit down in his pasture. Well, they didn't know what green, luscious pastures were. But the imagery was evocative because it was an image of plenty. And miraculously, everyone ends up with enough to eat. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Jesus does something miraculous with these seemingly insignificant things. And we see this throughout the Gospels as well, because even in terms of people, Jesus seems to focus on the people who in the eyes of the world seem to have the least to offer. Yet he chooses to work his ways through them. He doesn't go to the high and mighty. He doesn't go to the rulers. And they don't really come to him. Jesus prioritizes working through the people that look worthless, that seem to have the least to offer. Secondly, we have the evidence of the church around us. The church, as we know, had extremely humble beginnings. And I've already kind of alluded to that, both in terms of personnel, if you will, and in terms of financial resources. And the same can be said of our army. But look at us today. Look at us today. Look at the church today. It's a testament and it's a witness to God's generosity and to people's investment in God's work, in God's church, and in the coming of the kingdom. People have invested their time, their talent, and their treasure, and God has honored this. We see it around us. Look at this building. Look at this core. Thirdly, we see it in the investment of others in us. So I want you to pause for a minute, and I want you to think about people who, over the course of your life, have invested in you. Who's invested in you? Parents, Sunday school teachers, cornet instructors, encouragers, those who were brave enough to challenge us when we need it. I doubt that any of them felt that they were changing the world. I doubt that any of them, of those people, were certain of the influence that they were having. I don't think they believed that the influence they were having was going to make a massive difference, but they did it again. But they did it. But when we look back, we can see the fruit of their investment in us. Think of those people. Try and be them. And I think it's precisely this idea of investing in others that we can all do. There is no one here that can't invest in someone else. There's no one here that everyone can invest, regardless of age, ability, or bank balance. We can all share a word of encouragement. We can all choose to encourage each other. We can all choose to pick up the phone and inquire after someone who we haven't seen on a Sunday for a while. We can all do these simple things. There's no one here that cannot do it. And it's these small investments of our seemingly limited resources that can have a massive effect when they are done for the glory of God. And fourthly, we've got to be honest about this, and I've alluded to it already. But fourthly, we've got to be aware and we've got to recognize our own propensity towards cynicism. We've got to be aware of our own propensity towards cynicism. What good will it do? What good does it do? If you think, I hear this and I see it. What difference will my donation make? What difference will my tithe make? What difference will my cartridge make? Anyway, but I've got no gifts to contribute. My efforts will only go to waste. Anyone ever thought like that? I have. But these attitudes are only true if we don't trust Jesus and we don't offer up our seemingly meager resources to him. And this helps us to remember that God's economy is not like us, like ours. We see this throughout the Gospels. We see this in the history of the church. We see this in the investment of others in us. God's economy does not function like ours. God grows wonderful things out of seemingly insignificant things, like you and me, like the money that's burning the inside of our pockets, like the talents that we're desperate to use but that we can't, and it's turning us perhaps bitter and frustrated. I'm going to conclude now, but before I do so, I just want to give one final thought, and it's a thought on sacrifice. You know, what we give to Jesus must be sacrificial. It must come at a cost. We see that in this story, you know. So the disciples go off, they find their five loaves and they find the two fishes. We don't know who gave them, but the people that gave them, well, they're not going to be seeing those loaves and fishes again, are they? They're not going to be seeing them again. Miraculous intervention or not. But their risk-taking, their investment paid off, to use that kind of language. So to conclude, one simple statement. When we give sacrificially of our time, of our talents, and of our money, however paltry they may seem in the eyes of the world, Jesus will use them for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom. I'm going to invite you to sing a chorus as you reflect on the words that have just been shared. And it might seem like an unusual choice, but I chose it nonetheless. Can I have the words, please, Jackie? Thank you. Teach me how to love thee. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to serve thee better every day. Teach me how to serve thee better every day. And I chose this song in this kind of attitude of remaining flexible and adaptable to the things that God is calling us to do. Let's simply sing these words together. Thank you.
teach me how to love.
Let's pray. Father, teach us. Teach us to love you better. Teach us to serve you better. Teach us to use our seemingly insignificant resources better. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done in the past. We remember them. We give thanks for them. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. God never changes. So we go away singing, standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Let's stand and sing together. Stand if, of course, if you're able.
Thank you.
that one again when we're short on cornets. And a final benediction upon you before we move on to the next part of our worship. There's a special dispensation for the Harold family. But if you're here, if you've seen me on the platform more than 6 times, you must stay. And may God meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.